This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Dear Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is sponsored by CG Atlantic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Banking Trust, and World Star Assurance.
And gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well and had a great rest from our last session together. You know, if you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I am a little exhausted with the FTX issue, but it is still a very live issue in so many ways. And now we have the revelations of the emails that have been exchanged between the commission and Mr. Bankman-Fried, between the Attorney General and Mr. Bankman-Fried. And I think that I don't want to get into the details of the exchanges. I think Juan did a very good job taking you through some of those. But I think that the character of the situation gets to be a bit more revealed by those emails. And I think that while there are those who want to develop a narrative that the Bahamas was an unfit jurisdiction for the hosting of this enterprise by Sam Bankman-Fried, I think more and more what it is revealing to me is the extent to which Bankman-Fried's early successes in his enterprise, whatever the reason for those successes. I think that what is coming clear is that on a deeper level, his judgment as an individual was significantly flawed on many levels. And it is an exact example of how when you come into money in this world, we allow so many, what shall I say? We allow for so many instances in which where we may have exercised a different judgment about you, we don't exercise that judgment. Why? Because you got plenty of money. Plenty of money. Right? You have a lot of money. You're dealing in the billions. And so we allow for the fact that surely someone with that much money, having made that much money, having produced this much success, must be able to do the things that he is licensed to do and to do those things well. And it's clear to me, very clear to me, from the many judgments he made about his appearances, about his communication with authorities or lack thereof, or his obfuscation on occasions of being questioned, or in the aftermath of all of this, his interviews and the things he said in those interviews, it is clear to me that this is a young man who was unformed in many ways in terms of his capacity to make complex judgments in life circumstances and situations. And why not? That is something which you're not born with. You don't get in school. Oftentimes, it's experience that brings it to you. But no. When you got money, plenty money, it is not difficult for people to fathom that you must be capable in all kinds of other areas in your life. Well, what a big mistake that is to make, because it's simply not true. And in fact, the big kicker is this. Listen to me. Mr. Fried, I heard him doing an interview. I think he was doing the interview with Mr. Stephanopoulos. And in the interview, he said, he was asked, you have gone from having billions and billions of dollars to, and he said, he finished it up by saying, so I have about $100,000 in cash in my name. $100,000 in cash in my name. So let me ask you a question. How do you go from having $32 billion, being worth $32 billion, to having $100,000 in cash in a matter of days? How does that happen? Because the answer is a lesson for plenty of us who to see money in freaky ways. How do you go from that? I want you to imagine that somebody literally has $32 billion in cash. I want you to imagine that somebody has $32 billion. You know what that means, right? That means like you have to count $1 $32 billion times to have how much money those people have. I want you to imagine that someone has that much money. I want you to imagine somebody losing that kind of money in days. Tell me how that could happen. You tell me how a person could lose $32 billion in cash over days. Tell me how that could happen. Anybody, please text me, call me, and tell me how that is possible. I want you to imagine yourself with $32 billion and tell me what you would have to do to lose $32 billion, to have $100,000 left. Tell me how that's possible. Outside of giving it away, just literally giving it away. Just, that's what you have to do. You have to just literally give it away. And if you gave it away, you could tell where you give it. You could track where you gave it. You literally have to give it away. But if you say, well, I could buy lots of cars. Yeah, but you would have the cars as assets. You wouldn't have the cash, but you would have the cars. I could buy a lot of property. Yeah, but you would have the property as assets. You said, I could buy businesses. Yes, but you would have those businesses as assets unless you bought businesses that had no assets and was losing money day in and day out. But still, over 5 days, $32 billion gone, not possible. It is very hard. Very hard to simply lose $32 billion in cash. I'm saying in cash now. I'm not talking about Sam Bankman-Fried yet. What is the famous saying? How do you make a small fortune start with a large one? Yeah, but I'm asking, how do you lose? Like, if you have, I'm not talking about Sam Bankman-Fried yet. I'm talking about someone has $32 billion in cash. That is $32 million bills in cash. How do you, that's three times the value of the Bahamian economy. Three times. That means like every nickel and dime we spend in the Bahamian economy on an annual basis, every bit of money we earn on an annual basis, somebody has three times that amount of money in cash. How do you lose that in 5 days? Somebody tell me. I'm listening to y'all. Tell me. How do you lose that? Huh? Somebody say most of it was fake money, non-fiat funds, frivolous spending. A frivolous spending cannot cause you to lose $32 billion in cash. Because frivolous spending means you guys spend it on things. Things have value. They may not have the value you pay for it, but they have value. So you don't lose the money. You just change the asset from cash to something else, from cash to cars, from cash to land, from cash to clothes, from cash to jewelry, from cash to houses. But you still could spend, you could still sell those things and get something, right? I'm trying to show you something here. I'm trying to show you something. This text says, Shivago, only when you didn't have to work hard to get it. No, that's not it. Even somebody who didn't have to work hard for $32 billion, I assure you, will find it is not easy in 5 days, in a few days, to lose $32 billion in cash. Anyone who is in the financial world knows exactly what I'm talking about. They know that I'm saying what I'm saying is true. It is not easy. Let me tell you something. When you get into the big money making, it's hard. It's hard to stop making money. It really is. I don't mean you can't lose money, but it's hard to stop making money, right? You say, but look at these athletes who made hundreds of millions of dollars and they broke. What does broke mean for them? Broke means that plenty of them can't meet their debt obligations, but they still have, many of them, still have assets that they then have to sell in order to get some cash in order to meet their obligations. And they may not be able to meet all of them, but they still end up with some things, It isn't impossible, but I'm just saying it's hard. But I can tell you how it is possible to lose that kind of money. Somebody say, pay off the national debt of several countries. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. But, like, pay it off how? Because, you know, the national debt of the country is owned by other people. Okay, so this is in fact, I'm glad you mentioned this, because some of us don't realize this, okay? So the national debt of the Bahamas is owned by the National Insurance Board. So the National Insurance Board is holding bonds, documents, legal documents from the government of the Bahamas that says the government of the Bahamas owes it X amount of money and has agreed to pay it, that money's back and with interest. Similarly, for all the other holders, whether they are pension funds or banks or insurance companies, they all hold these debt instruments that say the government of the Bahamas owes them. For you to pay the government's debt off, right, you would have to purchase those bonds from those holders, which means then when you purchase those bonds, you will be now holding the government's debt, and the government would therefore owe you the money and have to pay you the interest, $400 million every year. You ain't broke no more. The only way for you to be able to do that is you would have to pay those debts off, and then you would have to say to the government of the Bahamas, I forgive you all of this debt. That's what you would have to do. You'd have to say, I now hold that instruments for you, but I am now going to forgive you that debt. So I would have to, the government would have to get a legal document from you saying that it no longer is obligated to pay you that debt. So you, again, you would have to give it away. That's why I said the only way to do it is you have to give it away. It's the only way. Because paying off the debts of countries isn't as simple as just going and making a payment. Because when you make the payment, you have to make the payment to somebody holding that debt, who then gives you the debt instrument, which means that you are now owed the money. The governments are supposed to pay you. And unless you forgive those governments, as in give the money away, you still will be making money off of those debt instruments. Okay? It's not easy to lose money like that. Unless, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you how it is possible when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. Take a step. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody, from Talking Heads right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. See you in the new year.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody.
back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, very few people have that much in cash. It's stocks or unbanked notional value. You're absolutely right. Very few people have $32 billion in cash. Some corporations may have it. But the fact is, we were doing a thought exercise of having it, right? And the fact of the matter is, having it, it is really difficult to conceive of how somebody could lose it all in a few days. But you are right. When you talk about people having, well, really what they say is people are worth $32 billion. Worth. That's in stocks, it's in bonds, it's in properties like land or buildings or, commodity that they might be holding, like gold or silver or something of that nature. They are in any number of other assets they could be holding, right? So, which you rightly say might represent something that might represent some notional value. In the case of Sam Bankman-Fried and them, this is the trick that we get caught in. The trick! And I pray God will help us not get caught in this trick no more. The only way for $32 billion in value to vanish like that, when it was built on the enthusiasms of people regarding what a thing is worth, when a thing is not, in fact, a real thing. So, I have a car. I pay $10,000 for the car. That car has some value. Even if I just strip the car apart and sell all the parts, it has some value. It could be $6,000. It could be $8,000, whatever. But at least at cost, because I paid $10,000 for it, that's what it's value. Now, let's say someone went out there and whispered, y'all know Chicago's car has a rare part in it that I am told a person holding could get up to $2 million for it. Tell a story on me. Now, obviously, what matters is whether somebody believes that story, right? If somebody believes that story. If enough people believe that story and start running around, but you want to know Chicago car, got one part in it. If you get it, but you could sell the part for $2 million, and y'all know how Bahamians go. By the time we done finished fixing up that story, boy, listen, boy, I hear Chicago boy gone across the water in the Middle East, and he gone order this car special purpose, boy, and they put one part of the Sheik to this car with, and that car weigh all kinds of millions and millions and millions of dollars. Then people start coming to me, they want to buy the car for $20,000. I was like, why would you want to buy this car for $20,000? Then next month, he wanted for $30,000 and $50,000, $100,000 and $600,000. Now, all of that demand and realistic request to buy my car just made my car worth $600,000 and just increased my net worth by $550,000. Why? Enthusiasm. People, I'm going to build up my car worth to all kinds of $600,000 worth. And now my net worth, I could put on my statement, my car is worth market value $600,000. I paid $10,000 for this car, is worth on the market $600,000. But then somebody come and find out, wait, that was one big lie. I was only telling the story. Boom, all of a sudden it deflate everybody. Boom, my car value go back down to $10,000. Guess what? My $600,000 I did prop up my net worth with, and now back down the below the $600,000. Why? Because of a story. There was never anything real. My car was always still the same car, even at $600,000, as it was at $10,000. It still had four tires. It still had one exhaust. It still had one steering wheel. It still had one engine. But people's enthusiasm drove up the value of my car, drove up my net worth, and I was pumping my chest talking about how I weighed all of this and I weighed all of that. No, I weighed the next thing. And the next thing, you know, boom, I was back down to reality. You think this didn't happen? Don't happen. Listen to me. I bought some property in Freeport in the late 90s. Each property had a valuation by the appraisers, not me, of over $100,000 each. Clearly, therefore, on my disclosure forms and my net worth statements, I put my property, the value of my properties. When Freeport's economy tanked, the next time I did an appraisal on those properties were valued around $45,000 or thereabouts from $100,000, below half the value. Now, is the property any smaller? No. Is the property any less on the canal? No. Does the property have any less limestone? No. The only difference is what people believe the property is worth. And so when we have these folks come pumping up about how much they're worth, we have to ask ourselves, worth what? What is it that makes you worth what you're worth? Is it enthusiasm or is it commodities or property or what? What is it that has you being worth what you're worth? Because depending on the nature of the basis of your worth, it could be a sneeze that results in your being worth that much less. Just a sneeze. Because the sneeze caused a pandemic, and the pandemic caused a panic, and the panic caused the enthusiasm of people that pumped up your asset value to now deflate it. Do we examine that? This text says, he literally said this on a podcast 1 week before he collapsed. Power is in the tone. He said, I wanted to get rich, not because I like money, but because I wanted to give that money to charity. This is what the SPF told the interviewer. But he gave some of the money, but he didn't have all that money to begin with. That's the point. He never did. That worth was an inflation born of euphoria. This text is overvalued. Motto, yes, that's it. So where the money, people's money. Yeah. Well, the people's money was flowing toward the enthusiasm. Right? So what I'm trying to show and note here is that there is a bias that is inherent in us when money flowing. Well, when money is presenting, that makes us let our guards down and to think all must be well if that much money is around. Except what money was it? It wasn't even money. It was value. And value isn't money. And value isn't always real. Value is a perception. It is. And it is situational. Let me give you an example. That's why you got to be careful. So let's suppose you have a briefcase with $1 million in it. Forget briefcase. You've got it on your charge card, your credit card. I mean, your charge card, your debit card, because you have in the bank $1 million, one solid $1 million. Ain't no question about it. You go to the mall, man, you's a big, big man. I want that, and I want that, and I want that. That value of your debit card with that $1 million, that's a lot, a lot, a lot. Now, let's suppose that you end up on an airplane, having bought a nice ticket on your airplane going to South America. But your plane goes down in the Amazon forest, deep in the Amazon forest. Thank God you survived, but you're the only person to survive. You're the only person to survive. But you still got that debit card in your back pocket, deep in the Amazon forest. No cell phone, no cell tower. How much is your debit card worth to you then? Listen to what I said, worth to you. It may be worth something to people who can survive you, but what is it worth to you? Can it get you out of deep in the Amazon forest? And I know some of y'all talk most stupidness. I'll buy the, buy what deep in the Amazon forest? You can't buy anything deep in the Amazon forest. When the anaconda come for you, what is your debit card going to do for you? And what can your debit card do for you if you are not near an ATM machine? See, value? Value is situational. Today, people think you are that. Tomorrow, people don't. Ask Mr. Bankman-Fried. Start a life goal. Value is situational and highly dependent on how other people perceive you. Even our ownership, listen to me. Do you know that your ownership of something, you say, this is my house, this is my car. Do you know that that ownership is conditional on the agreement of other people to respect your ownership? Because if sufficient people in the society, an overwhelming number of people, even overwhelming to the police, decide that you can no longer own that thing, ain't nothing the police could do or you about it. Nothing, no thing. If we have a situation of chaos in our society, right there in the bombs, and enough people decide, ain't nobody around here owning nothing. Ain't nobody gonna own nothing. All you can be owning it is in your head while they taking it and using it and occupying it. Even your sanity, my sanity, is conditioned on the society saying that I am sane. Because if the society decides that I am insane, the society can have me committed and on agreement with the courts. It's a part of the society. They could decide, but you ain't sane. No matter how sane I think I am. And so when we see people come to us flashing wealth, we got to be able to soberly ask ourselves the question. What is the basis? What is the real basis of this wealth? Is it notional? Is it born of an enthusiasm or euphoria that is being driven by some story? What is it that makes this wealth real? Because if it could disappear in a matter of days, was it real or was it perceived to begin with? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Chenet's Chesapeake Road Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Tent. Get your Christmas trees in pink, frosted, green, or white in a variety of sizes. Musical Christmas LED and laser lights. A large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels and Santa tree toppers. Bright and lively colored Christmas balls in all sizes. Garlands, wreaths, tree skirts, stockings, and lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Chenet's Chesapeake Road. Check our selections online at www.chenet.com.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails. and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Erin Green, wishing you and your family happiness, peace, and mangoes this holiday season and throughout the new year from Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. This text says, let me see some text, okay? Say, buy real estate or invest in otherwise. Okay, like I already explained, that doesn't cause you to lose money. This text says, doing dumbness, maybe betting it all on someone's birthday or penny stocks. That'll do. That could do it. This says, cash. Okay, take 10 of your friends' piracy. Each one has a backpack full of money. When you are in the air, open your backpack and let the money fly out. Look down and see your friend. Escaping on jets. You either squander it or you take an uninformed risk. It says, actually, the risk doesn't even have to be uninformed. An uninformed risk could lose billions. Correction, an informed risk could lose billions. That's true. This text says, Z Live. This text says unformed because the
out of this cage.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. How long was I off? Yeah, as I was talking away. I'm reading these people texts. How much of the text did you not hear? For about 5 minutes? I miss all the people text. boy. Anyways, so let me see. I'm trying to catch up. I only can laugh. That's all I can do. Can't cry about it. boy. But someone did say anyways, it would be very hard for me to read all of those over again. Very hard. Anyways, I just think that, in reading the DARE Act, the DARE Act requires companies registered under that act to do many sensible things in relation to ensuring they operated appropriately, you know, at least that's what the law requires. The law requires these people to have systems and controls in place. The law requires the directors to act responsibly. The law requires that the company, registers appropriately and registers new tokens appropriately. The law requires the company to utilize people's funds in appropriate ways. The law requires the funds to be returned to people on request within 72 hours. So the law requires the company to act in ways in which, if this company acted in ways in accordance with the law, then maybe things would not have gotten as bad as they did. So I'm saying, when you read the act, the act itself makes provision for the proper operations of a company, at least for the company to do the kinds of things that will ensure, that will help to ensure that people's funds are properly used. The law requires that when some material change in circumstances happen after a token has been offered, that immediately the person, the exchange is supposed to make that known to the commission and those so that appropriate measures can be taken. If the law requires a cooperation between the parties in providing information relative to the functioning of the company, the law empowers the commission to be able to ask for any information required. So the law is there to give the power to the commission to do many things and to require somebody to act in certain ways. But just as our law says thou shalt not kill, don't mean there are people out there who are prepared to go against the law and kill. So the law is there. Now, you can argue about supervision, because the law also requires the commission to supervise the registrants under the act. Thankfully, the law also gives the power to the commission when it discovers that something is amiss to be able to go to the court and to seek the court's permission to bring a company into liquidation as we have seen happen. But the law does require the or disempower the commission to supervise these companies in ways as to say, are you in compliance with the law? But supervision means inspections. It could mean interviews. It could mean requests for information. It could mean, you know, structured and sometimes unannounced visitations and all that kind of stuff. So you see from the email threads, the emails, the commission trying to get information from Bankman-Fried. Now, let me tell you, I watched interviews with Bankman-Fried. And that young man, he is not a stupid young man. He's not. And he could answer whatever questions he wants. And when he don't want to answer a question, he will find ways to go around your questioning, for sure. If I'm the commission, hearing what I'm hearing, and I'm asking questions, and one, either I'm not getting an answer, I'm not getting timely answers, and I'm not getting straightforward answers, I'm going to believe that the sky is falling. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe the sky is falling, and I'm going to start to ratchet up. Ratchet up the thing, a thingamajig. I'm just saying. But again, sometimes we can find artificial safety and security in the abundant apparent wealth of folk. So yes, yeah. Someone said I was off for a while. You only heard me with one or two texts. Well, at least you got one or two texts in. That's good. Penalties. Yeah, there are penalties. There are penalties in the law. There are penalties, but you know, penalties in the law, like you could suspend the license if you think that the licensee is not operating appropriately. You can revoke a license if you think the licensee has not been operating appropriately. But penalties relate to conviction, right? So you have to be convicted of something to have a penalty exacted on you. You know, so I don't think they were at that point of penalty just yet. Anyways, I do have another point to raise when we come back from the news break that I also thought was kind of ticklish. Remember when Bankman-Fried told the commission he wanted to open the platform so that the Bahamians could withdraw their monies, right? And he did not get an answer. He said he was going to do it anyways if he didn't get an answer, but he didn't get an answer. And that scenario puzzled me. It puzzled me. So we're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we will continue our discussions after the news break. We'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take. way. So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage.
I'm standing up, I'ma face my demons.
I'm manning up, I'ma hold my ground.
I've had enough,
now I'm so fed up. Time to put my life back together.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Fidelity, we're good for you. I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Shanae's Chesapeake Road Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Ten. Get your Christmas trees in pink, frosted, green, or white in a variety of sizes. Musical Christmas LED and laser lights. A large variety of tree ornaments. Lighted angels and Santa tree toppers. Bright and lively colored Christmas balls in all sizes. Garlands, wreaths, tree skirts, stockings, and lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Shanae's Chesapeake Road. Check our selections online at www.janaes.com.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Hi, this is Shivago Lang, host of Z-Live, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year from Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. Beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you wish to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers: 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 316. You can also text us at 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we were talking about the emails that were revealed, were exchanged between Sir Bankman-Fried and others. In the case of one email exchange, it was an exchange between Mr. Fried and the regulators. This was exchanged between Mr. Fried and the Attorney General of the Bahamas. Now, I found it a little curious, actually, because what happened was Mr. Freed said to the Attorney General, essentially, he was going to open up the platform, having suspended withdrawal requests from international players, so that he would open up, well, from all the players, he would open up the exchange so that Bahamian clients would be able to, over the next day or so, withdraw their funds. And he said, you know, if they heard from them or not, they would still go ahead and do that anyways. And I found that that request of the Attorney General a little curious, given that the emails also seemed to suggest that the Securities Commission was trying to get information from him, but was not hearing from him. But he took the liberty to go and speak to, you know, address an email to the Attorney General, who had also been trying to inquire of him what was going on in the company. And the Attorney General did not answer him. Right? So he put this question out there. You know, I'm going to open up this platform and allow for your Bahamian clients, your Bahamian folk, to get their monies, even though everybody else's, the international people won't be able to do so. And, you know, even if you don't answer me, I'm going to do it anyways. So, you know, that is a tricky situation to put the Attorney General in. It would have been a tricky situation to put the regulator, and it had that question they put to the regulator, because, you know, there is something called duty of care. It's a concept that suggests that you or I, an attorney, count anybody, right, operating in a certain set of circumstances, faced with a set of situations that compel an action, compel you to act. For instance, a child is running toward the road, and you, an adult, see the child running toward the road where traffic is coming. To take no action, to take no action, somebody once will ask, you know, did that person just fail to exercise a duty of care? If you're a parent, you have a duty of care to your minor children in the way that you see about their safety and so forth and so forth. If you are a regulator who has a responsibility to protect the society, to protect the people who are clients in an industry, question is, like, what is your duty of care, right? So this man puts this point to the Attorney General, who already knows that the environment in which this company is operating is one fraught with suspicion, concern, and he himself is trying to find out what exactly is taking place. And this man says, you know, I'm going to open this platform to your folk, not the rest of them folks. Now, the Attorney General is an attorney. He knows that if a company is faced with insolvency and were to be wound up, that there would be an order of ranking for the making whole of any person who is a who that company owes. He knows that. So he did this notion that I'm going to make it available to your folk wouldn't immediately strike some sentiment in the Attorney General, as astute as he is in law, that he should, yeah, go right ahead, that's great, that's fine. He didn't just go ahead and say, yeah, that's great, go ahead and do that. Because could you imagine reading an email with responses from the Attorney General in that way? Because I've heard
some of our folk text these shows and say how, oh, they have to take care of Bahamians. They have to make sure Bahamians are taken care of. Could you imagine today an email response from the Attorney General that says, you know what? If you were going to fix up Bahamians, you go right ahead. And see how that reads. See how that would have come across. It would not have been good. So I can conceive in a generous, rendering of the situation where the Attorney General says, you know what? Listening to this guy, it is time to act. It is time to do something, because no action that he is taking is an action that would be appropriate for a company in perhaps, because the company wasn't in liquidation then, but in perhaps the insolvency circumstances in which this company finds itself. In fact, in this circumstance, this man should not be acting at all. He should be speaking with the regulators and advising them of the condition and state of this company so that they could determine what is appropriate in the circumstances. But Jen, you know, the Attorney General and them, perhaps, I can't say, I wasn't there. Perhaps listening to that, reading that email, say, you know what? Y'all can't, the Securities Commission can't hear from him. He is not very forthcoming in terms of responses to my request. But now he puts this carrot in front of me, suggesting that he's going to do some favor for us. You know what? It's time to act. And you will see, note, that just shortly thereafter, the request was made of the courts to appoint a provisional liquidator. I'm telling you, to my mind, that was a carrot, and it was also a trap. It would not have read well had the Attorney General and those gotten as excited as I hear some Bahamians suggesting they would have been excited, because he decided that he was only going to be, in quote, protecting Bahamian interest. I am delighted that they knew better. Knew better and acted better. Now, that's my generous rendering of how things probably went about. In a less generous rendering, one would say, well, why would not someone respond to that statement to say to him, listen, in the circumstances, you should not be doing anything. You should be speaking with the regulators, apprising them of the circumstances of this company so that appropriate regulatory determinations could be made. That's another. You know, you didn't say yes, you didn't say no, but you gave directions as to what, in terms of regulatory requirements, might be necessary to follow. You know, but just reading these emails just reflect to me how very ticklish the whole situation was. Very ticklish. And see, you know, you guys know me. And people start talking to you exclusively by emails, you better know what's up. Email is a trail, a documented trail. And it you cannot on the email deny you said a thing unless you can prove that it was fraudulent or something of that nature. But in the communication, are you going to say, well, I never told him to go ahead and do that? You can also say, well, there's no record that you told him not to do it. Because that's another thing, right? Why didn't you say, no, you shouldn't do that. You should not show preference between a Bahamian and a foreigner concerned in this circumstance? Because, you know, if they show that, then Bahamians would be like, well, but you mean he show us no preference? Telling you these written records are no joke. And then you see somebody reach out to you an email, they're creating a written record. And so if you can't afford to, if you are not in a position to defend the thing you wrote, careful what you write. In this case, no response was given, so nobody could say you said something. They could say you didn't say anything, but in the end, the commission acted to bring the company into provisional liquidation. And now as you listen to the narrative, you listen to the way the folk in the American media before the Congress and those are carrying the story. They are not so much talking about, and understandably so, Bahamian clients. They're talking about American clients and what happened to them and their money. This gentleman, what's his name again? The investor, O'Leary. I saw a clip with him speaking before Congress. And he had an interesting spin on what he thought happened. I have to confess that when I first read the story about how this all came about, how FTX's fall all came about, I entertained the thought for a minute. But I certainly didn't take it the way he took it to. When we come back from the break, we'll speak to what, in fact, he said. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabaga Langyo. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids in school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Happy holidays from Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful and wonderful Christmas.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian
Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to call us on any of the following numbers: 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I don't know why people call me at this hour. Even some people who seem to be like they, I don't know if they're trying to text the show or what. We're on the show. If you don't call through the show's number, you're calling on my phone. That's not going to help you. Right? So, this text says, Z seems as if the SEC acted proactively, had sought assistance from the Commissioner of Police and freezes the assets after no response. Sorry, not SEC, but the SCB, yes, the SCB, Bahamas, who acted proactively. So the PM is beating his chest. I heard the PM statement. I did. I heard the PM statement. I heard it. This text says, everything he did once the collapse started was methodical. He knew just why he reached out to Ryan Pinder but did not respond to the commission. Okay. I can't say he was not acting with deliberation. I can't say that. I think that clearly, he was acting with some deliberateness, for sure. And he was also, I think, trying to generate some sympathy for himself and some, I think, goodwill for himself among the Bahamian population. But we shouldn't even guess about that. He said that, right? He said, you don't want to be living in a place where the people are angry with you. So we know that he was intent on trying to ensure people in this country were not unhappy with him. This text says, saw a pic where he made a sizable donation to BARC with Ryan, who is a member. Well, you know, whatever may have been the appearance of his support for and closeness with, his company was still put into provisional liquidation. His assets were still frozen. And he was still prosecuted. He was still charged before the courts. So whatever the appearance of coziness was, it didn't pan out to prevent him from facing serious circumstances for what has happened so far. So, you know, the appearance of a conflict does not in and of itself represent a conflict. That's what people need to realize. It is not the appearance of a conflict. It is the actuality of a conflict in which someone's primary interest and responsibility is subjugated to some secondary interest. So let me give you an example. So if one says, oh, well, he gave Ryan Pinder's fraternity or association or something monies, and therefore that would give him undue influence over Ryan Pinder. The only way for you now to then translate that into that would
that conflict of interest would be for Mr. Pinder not to have carried out the responsibilities he has under as Attorney General and as Minister of Justice. And in this case, where is Mr. Bankman-Fried? Where is he, you know? You cannot say that Mr. Fried's interest was put above the public interest in pursuit of justice. You can't say that. So, like I say, it is not the appearance it is the actual behavior and whether that behavior constitutes conflict or not. This text says, this is probably why he approached Ryan first. Could be. Whatever first approach he made, it didn't, in the end, allow him the luxury of getting away with anything. Now he's in the court's hands because, you know, now he has to obey the courts. The court says, no, you won't get any bail. If there is an extradition request made formally and then heard by the government, then that has to go before the courts. And if it is denied, then it will be a matter of judgment by the courts. And the courts can make that judgment. It's not a fait accompli that an American request for extradition has to be complied with. That's not automatic. He has the right to fight extradition. He has the right to build a case as to why he ought not to be extradited. And the court will hear that case. We've had similar cases before, and people have won their cases. Some cases we know have not been won, but you know, it's a matter for the courts now. Now, while we are there talking about FTX, let me say there's a big announcement that we have seen, in which the government seems to have been able to ink a substantial investment for Abaco, substantial investment, $800 million investment for Abaco. And while I have lived long enough to know that an announcement and an assigned memorandum of understanding does not an investment make, I have also lived long enough to know it can portend for good things for a country, because when the government of the Bahamas first signed the memorandum of understanding with Atlantis, it was only ink, but it did come through. When it signed its memorandum of understanding with Bahama, it was only ink, but it did come true. When it first signed its memorandum of understanding with Hutchison Whampoa, it was just an ink, but it did come true. So I'm not going to be a skeptic. I am very happy that the government of the Bahamas was able to ink this deal, apparently, with this group to pursue a substantial development in Abaco. That's good for Abaco too, you know, because Abaco, having suffered as it did the recent Dorian devastation, you know, this group, the Kakano South Abaco Development, Abaco, having suffered the devastation that it did, this can be a confidence booster for Abaco. Let's just all really keep our fingers crossed and pray that what they intend to do actually
transpires. This text says, but the central bank don't trust offshore banks trading and investing funds on behalf of clients to follow the law. I don't think you put that quite right. I don't know. That's a question that the central bank don't trust them to do the trading and investing. That's not true. I mean, if that's a part of your remit, you can do it. What the central bank looks and checks for is that you are operating in accordance with the law, regulations, and in accordance with proper governance and other systems. So I don't know that they don't trust you to do the trading and investing. That's not true at all. Regulators are only regulating that your activities are in accordance with the law and the appropriate standards of operation to protect the integrity of the system and the clients served by the company. But if you are trading and investing, if you make a bad trade or a bad investment, that's not the regulator's issue at all. Did you make the proper disclosures? Did you follow the proper procedures with your compliance officers and all that? That's the kind of stuff that they look for. So this doesn't look like there was any supervision. Mrs. Rowell didn't even know how many clients they had. I don't know. What do you think about Fred Mitchell's response to the Washington Post editorial about the Bahamas? What do I think about it? I think I spoke about that the other day. I mean, you can, you could take on people if you want. You could take them on if you want. Gonna take them on if you want. If those people will, wish, or have the ability to respond in ways that you don't like, well, you may want to consider how you take them on that way. But, it's Texas. Good afternoon. Selang, SBF was, in quote, influence peddling. He did the same thing with the Democrats and Republicans. Okay. So, Zhivago, his disregard for the commission is striking and makes me question if the commission's seeming lack of information on FTX. Okay. FTX's operations was willful. Really? Notwithstanding the fact that the commission should have been more insistent. You think that the commission would have willingly not want to have information in the first instance? Just willing? Now, maybe an oversight? Maybe poor management, probably poor oversight of supervision, but willingly not want the information? Really? I don't get that. I don't buy that at all. Don't buy it at all. So, man, I ain't suspicious, but that name of the Abaco buyer, Kakanu, does not inspire confidence. I ain't a lie. I mean, the name really didn't. The name. What is that anyways? That must mean something. What is that? Kakanu. So yes, you did. You said, tell your story, laugh out loud. I did say, tell your story. I did say, tell your story. But I said, tell your story. But you remember, I said, tell your whole story, though. You can't tell a story that only has you coming out like a hero if there are components and elements of your story that don't play well. Remember that? Remember? Come on, did I not say that? So, would much rather that investment be made to build airport in Grand Bahama rather than Napa. Really? Why? I mean, no. Why? I mean, why? This is not an infrastructural investment. This is not the government. It's an investor. I mean, really? Come on, man. Come on. Abaco needs it too. It's the Bahamas. I don't know, man. Come on. I'm sorry. I carry on. I hope it works out. See, because I still have hopes for Grand Micaiah. But Abaco needs it too, and so does Exuma, Long Island, everybody, every place. So it doesn't matter. I mean, maybe if you prefer to be in Grandmama, okay, no problem. I'm just glad something happening, and I'm hoping that it does happen. See, I'm suspicious about Abaco deal, but I am from Grandmama, so I am suspicious about all deals. Yeah, but you ain't answer me in saying, remembering that I said when you tell your story, tell your whole story, though. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we will continue our discussion. We'll be back after this final break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Dwight Strawn with Morning Blend. On behalf of the crew and my co-hosts, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and an incredibly blessed and prosperous New Year.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Some of y'all ain't right now. Somebody said they know what caca is. Y'all say that if this thing turns out to be big, y'all be laughing at that name, but boy, you'll be celebrating all that returns. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. We are finding a politically correct way to view and call SBF a thief, which he is, allegedly. I don't feel sorry for this shorts and T-shirts wearing con artist. Indeed, many persons regarded him as a demigod. He should be charged along with his team to the fullest extent of every law in every country. Many are too greedy and wicked, but watch him. He should not be allowed to disappear while in jail. Think he will? Say no, that he willfully did not provide the information. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you're saying that
he willingly didn't want to provide that information to the commission. Okay. Okay. I see you. I see what you're saying. So let me backtrack again. There is no question that wealth can be real. I mean, like, you can have lots of land, you can have lots of property, you can have lots of income generating investments, and you can have lots of cash. So wealth can be real. I mean, like, and I'm talking about substantial wealth, because each of us has some wealth, and I'm talking about material wealth. I'm not talking about your spiritual wealth or your, you know, I'm talking about, we each of us can have material wealth. We can have some money in the bank, some land, some property, some stuff like that, right? So we can all have real wealth. Some people just have that multiplied many times, and that allows them to be able to do all kinds of things in this world. But some wealth is predicated on a capitalist system we have that is generated by and large by the enthusiasm of others about what they think you are about. In other words, your wealth can reflect their confidence in your story. Sometimes verified, sometimes unverified, but a story nonetheless. And that while we watch and go read Forbes magazine, this one is worth $100 billion. That one is worth $90 billion. That one is worth $50 billion. You got to ask yourself the question, $100 billion worth of what? $50 billion worth of what? $70 billion worth of what? Shares in a company who people believe is doing something, could be. And the company could be really doing something. It could be marvelously healing people. It could be marvelously feeding people. It could be marvelously clothing people. It could be marvelously making people wealthy, because a lot of wealthy people are actually in the business of creating wealth, like hedge funds. A lot of hedge fund owners and founders are extremely, extremely wealthy. Yeah, let me tell you something. Wasn't no, you all see Sam Bankman-Fried set up a hedge fund? That wasn't by accident. You get in that trading business, and you get to taste some success from that trading, a hedge fund is like the next direction. Because as I explained to you all, hedge fund money isn't a mutual funds money. Hedge fund money is your management fee, 1-2%, and your success fee on the profits of 20%+ or so. That, and you do that, you do some good trades, one or two big trades, and you are in the money. And a lot of hedge fund operators, a lot of hedge fund owners, in the billions, cash money. There's ain't no token money, cash money. But a lot of wealth reflects nothing but the enthusiasm of people about a story being told to them. This is the next big thing. So what does the herd do? The herd of investors, they go purchasing those shares. Well, the shares are limited, so they then have to auction. Oh, well, he will give you $100 for that. I'll give you $105. You give you $105, I'll give you $120. I'll give you $150 until eventually, at some point, that stock could be trading for $1,000. $1,000, the company itself has not gone and produced 300% more of anything. All there is an enthusiasm about the story, about the possibility about the company. And it's inflating the value of this piece of paper being held by people, and at the same time inflating those people's wealth. But that could come tumbling down. And so a young man who 5 days ago was said to have been worth $32 billion. That is almost three times the annual income of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. A whole country, one man, 5 days later, finds himself where he says, I don't think he was worth $100,000, but he only had $100,000 in the bank, he said, but I finds himself worth substantially less. Why? Because the enthusiasm that inflated his worth has now subsided. And now he, the thing that once gave him that extraordinary worth, has now been deflated. Which means it wasn't real to begin with. It was just enthusiasm. And one day, most of us will learn that about wealth, that it could in fact just be that. Paper, notional value. You know, you've been listening to the Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. You all have a great evening. God spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Goodbye. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.